The Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 12th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. A new proposal to reduce gun violence in Portland would create a list of people who are likely to cause violence. But that plan has skeptics. More on that from Eric Tegedoff.
Known as the Violent Impact Player, or VIP list, the risk assessment program has been implemented in other cities, including Tampa, Florida. The list would score people based on six risk factors to predict the likelihood they'll offend again. The scored factors include probation or arrest in the past 3 years, gang affiliation, and the suspects in or victims of gun crime. Jay Amechi with the group Freedom to Thrive says the program works too far downstream.
To prevent gun violence, we really need to be looking at the causal issues. And so putting victims and perpetrators of gun violence on a list and following them around is too late. That's not going to fix the issues, which is the underlying societal issues.
Amechi says the other concern is that it resembles a gang task force database the Portland police kept until 2017, when the task force was disbanded over accusations of racial bias.
And when a 16-year-old freelance journalist saw military recruiters at her Texas high school gym on career day, she set out to learn more.
Ana Marzia lives in El Paso, one of America's poorest cities, where more than 80% of residents identify as Hispanic. Her reporting for Yes Magazine led her to conclude the military uses economic hardship to lure young people of color to sign up.
They do tend to favor these groups because, in quote, they don't have any other option. So it's almost as if you're in this poor situation, but there's a way you can get out of it, and many do resort to the military.
Marzia says with Fort Bliss, a U.S. Army post headquartered in El Paso, it's easy for recruiters to travel to high schools in the area. I'm Roz Brown.
There are groups that work to counter military recruitment in public schools, including the National Network Opposing the Militarization of Youth. This story produced with original reporting from Anna Marisa for Yes Magazine. With the midterms fast approaching, she hopes voting age students considering enlistment will do their research. And the New York Times reports President Zelensky asked the leaders of seven major industrialized nations for more modern and effective air defense systems Tuesday. That comes a day after Russia launched an intense aerial assault against civilian targets in his country. The Times reports the leaders pledged their undeterred and steadfast financial and military support. The G7 held an emergency meeting a day after Russia missile strikes killed at least 19 people across Ukraine. This is PNS. And with the holidays quickly approaching, the U.S. Postal Service is hiring 28,000 seasonal workers in the Keystone State and across the country. We have more now from Danielle Smith.
The Postal Service also plans to add 1,000 more truck drivers, letter carriers, and processing team members. Kimberly Miller, president of the Postal Workers Union, Keystone Area Local, says the hiring blitz is necessary to keep up with demand. The USPS was also affected by the pandemic, and its workforce is logging massive hours. Miller adds the worker shortage means some post offices closing their windows early and delays in processing and delivering the mail on time.
I mean, we're struggling to maintain the hours, especially in the Harrisburg area. We had Carlisle Post Office last year that went weeks without delivery. And then so the union got involved and say, hey, look, this is an unsafe work condition. You need to clear the floor. You need to bring people in and get this mail to the customers.
And early voting starts today in Ohio. Advocates for the state's largest voting bloc say candidates should listen to their concerns.
Ohioans age 45 and older account for more than half of the state's voting population and tend to turn out in higher numbers. During a listening tour, AARP Ohio heard from thousands of people on the stress they feel about the future. Just 12% report strong confidence that they've saved enough to last throughout their retirement, and 89% describe Social Security as essential. State Director Holly Holtzman notes more than half reported delaying or ignoring health care due to cost.
They're really making some hard choices. One attendee at our listening session shared they skipped their colonoscopy for the past 3 years because they didn't know how they would pay for it. And this is a needed preventative procedure that can save lives.
Mary Sherman reporting.
Finally, Brett Pivito tells us at least 1 in 10 people in Indiana is considered food insecure.
The federal goal is to end hunger by 2030, in part by making sure multiple government agencies work better together to improve food access and affordability and prioritize nutrition. Emily Weichert Bryant with Feeding Indiana's Hungry describes the national strategy as a whole-of-government approach that she predicts will allow individual needs to be targeted.
How do we ensure that agencies are working together to make sure if you're on one federal program, you're also being sent information about federal nutrition programs? And vice versa, if you're on federal nutrition programs, are you able to access the other things that you might need for your household, whether it be childcare or transportation or things like that?
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your day with Public News Service, member and listener supported, on a great radio station's your favorite podcast platform. Find your trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.